The Ain't No Fang Podcast. From Arizona Sports, Ain't No Fang.
Could it be? It is. An emergency episode of the Ain't No Fang Podcast. I'm Steve Zinsmeister with Derek Montilla and Cody Fincher as well. We figured we should probably bring you a new episode of the Ain't No Fang Podcast after yesterday's fire sale.
Fire sale!
Everything must go!
It's crazy Mike Hazen's fire sale. These prices are so low, they'll blow your mind.
Wacky inflatable waving. I can't even say it.
Wacky waving arm flailing inflatable tube men. Yes, it's a fire sale.
Do you need
sale.
A mini fridge from my college dorm room?
Hey, you know, I'll throw in this carburetor for a 1968 Mustang along with Archie Bradley if you'll take him off our hands.
That's actually how I felt about Robbie Ray, though.
Yeah.
Not Archie.
Well, that's how some of these trades felt.
Archie was different. Let's get into each individual trade.
Let's start off with saying this, Steve. I want to say that first, I wasn't really surprised, yet I was also saddened and disappointed. Everything that we predicted or thought could possibly be a trade scenario for the D-backs ended up being a trade scenario, except they didn't get Bernie's slide. They kept the humor.
They did not get the slide from Milwaukee.
But
some of the concepts we came up with.
We're very close.
Like, I threw out Archie being traded. I actually got Cincinnati right. I got the return wrong.
Yeah. But, I mean, well, and I think that was the disappointing part. And then the fact that they also went all in and everybody that we suggested that we might see traded and the reasons why were the reasons why. The returns just weren't what we expected. Obviously, Robbie Ray was a situation that we knew that they were going to...
Had to go.
It has nothing really
for his
to
own
do with,
purposes too.
It really does. It gives him an opportunity before the end of this season to show his worth, so that he could possibly get that contract that he's looking for as a free agent. He's still going to be a rarity on the market as a left-handed starter, and he has that value as a relief pitcher that apparently a lot of teams see in him right now.
Yeah.
If you take that and you pair that with the fact that he can start for you in needed situations, or might once again become a starter, I think that there's still a lot of potential there for him.
Not a lot of dudes like that out there.
No, and it just felt like his time here was up. It's also the same thing with Archie. Archie's a great guy. He's been the face of this organization at times. He's been a vocal leader. And according to Torrey and Hazen, he's been a leader in the clubhouse. It was just time. He has kind of been that mediocre player at times where you feel like his potential, once again, is always coming. And yet it's never here. It always feels like he's finally figured it out and he's going to have this breakout moment. It feels like his closer, he was going to be the right choice. When he got moved to the bullpen, it felt like he was unstoppable there for a minute. But no matter what, it seems like he comes down to earth and gets back to a point where he doesn't seem to produce like we thought he could.
The trade was Archie Bradley to the Cincinnati Reds for infielder Josh Van Meter and outfielder Stuart Fairchild. Bear... super fan of the D-backs. How does that make the fan base feel, losing Archie Bradley? For that package specifically.
Well, I think for that package, probably not very good, because Archie Bradley was a fan favorite. He was your vocal leader in the clubhouse. He was probably the guy that gave most to this community, not you know, disparaging anybody else for their community work. I think a lot of those guys do a good job. But Archie felt like he fully embraced Arizona.
It surpassed the community service. It was embracing the community
itself.
He was itself.
At, you know, Coyotes opening night, you know, Suns first home game, all that stuff. He was everywhere in Arizona, and I think he truly loved being here. I saw on his Instagram story he was about to get on the plane to go to Cincinnati, and he turned around and says, "Bye, Arizona. Love you. Miss you." Like, he likes it here.
And I believe that,
And
it's got to be weird for him. He spent all six seasons of his major league career
this
here.
This is where he was drafted. This is where he got his first opportunity.
He
got hit in the face with a baseball.
Oh, he chose Arizona.
He was such a stud about that. Like, the way that he took that and came back from it fearlessly
Most players, when they choose major league baseball, they don't get to make a choice. It's just you got drafted by this team, they signed you, and that's that, right? And then they control you for 6 years. Archie made a choice to come play in the Arizona Diamondbacks organization over playing football
at Oklahoma.
At Oklahoma.
Ugh.
Think about that. Archie wasn't just the clubhouse guy. He wasn't just the closer at one point in time. He wasn't just a stud pitching prospect at one point in time. He chose the Diamondbacks over another sport entirely that he was, quite frankly, pretty good at.
Sure. I would put Bradley and Robbie Ray in the same category, though. I think that they're easy to love. They're easy guys to, like, root for and have on your team and not want them to go anywhere. Robbie Ray is just a nice guy. I mean, he's just a good guy in the clubhouse. He's funny. He's always joking around with the media and stuff. He always has a good attitude. Archie's the same way. Archie was always approachable. He's always so well-spoken when he has something on his mind, or even when he's angry, he can focus that and actually give you a post-game, you know, response that isn't canned, but also isn't all over the place that's going to get him in trouble.
He kind of spoke for the team last week when they were going through all the protests.
Yeah,
stuff.
He did. But here's the thing, though, is realistically, sometimes as a sports fan, you have to detach that heartache from the actual performance of the player.
Yeah.
And that's what I think the Diamondbacks were doing in this case. Archie, in six seasons with the Diamondbacks, went 22-25 with 28 saves, with a 3.96 ERA. That's
3.96?
3.96 ERA.
It's nothing special. You know
what? None of those numbers are special. They're actually pretty indicative of how mediocre the Diamondbacks have been, hovering right around 500. You know, when you look at the number of saves, you know, only 28 now. He, like we said, he's only been the starter or the closer for this season. He's closed at times in previous seasons, but it's still none of those numbers or anything that are going to truly impress you.
What's funny about that is he's probably known best for a moment that had nothing to do with pitching. Hitting that triple in the 2017 wild card game.
Yeah.
I was at that game. I was in the stands as a fan. I've never been in a more crazy atmosphere than after he hit that triple, because we're like, okay, he's just up to hit, you know, he's going to get the next inning. And then he smokes a triple into the gap. The outfielders were playing him in, and he runs around to third, which he probably shouldn't have ran to third, because then he got tired and gave up two home runs in the next inning.
But I remember that being just...
I'll never forget it.
It was one of the most incredible moments I've ever experienced at Chase Field, without a doubt. And like you said, it was one of those moments. I remember when he was up to bat, I was like, what is Lavallo doing?
Right.
Right. Well, he knew what he was doing.
It still might not have been the right move, by the way.
No, but hey, you never know.
It worked out, so we're not going
to
complain.
Can't argue about it. But I'll say this, though. It's really weird to me the way that the pooping in his pants story really affected his standing with fans.
Really?
I was really amazed by how people turned on him in regards to that, instead of getting a good laugh out of it and kind of finding it endearing that he told this story. He's not the only Major League Baseball player that's ever done this. He's just probably the only one that's openly admitted to it and then got an endorsement deal afterwards from a company in regards to that situation, I guess. It was just weird to me.
Because cleaning yourself up situation?
I felt like that was this weird turning point where people started, you know, really using it, especially the fan base, against him as kind of an insult instead of it just being this funny story that we all knew.
He also turned it into an endorsement, though.
I think that's where you cross the line, right? Yeah. Like,
do you think so? Do you think people held that against him?
Well, I think that that's where it really...
What was it, dude wipes or something?
Yeah, it really makes it feel very much like a sellout move at that point. You know, if you already didn't like the fact that he told that story, I don't know. Like I said, I always thought of him being an open book. And stuff like that comes with him being an open book. He was your quintessential quarterback, you know?
Right.
He could go in there after the game and give you that, like, heroic post-game speech about how the team did and how the defense did and all of that stuff.
Yeah.
You know, he was just – he's a very outspoken leader, and that's, I think, what the Diamondbacks are going to miss. However, it's a younger team now, and I think at this point, moving on – In even the direction of that kind of situation, of a new team leader or whatever, it might be the right move. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. It just seems like at this point the Diamondbacks need to do something to change it up. Otherwise, they're going to be 500 for eternity, it feels like.
Before we move on to one of the other trades, I'll ask you, Bear, do you feel confident in any other pitcher in this bullpen being a closer going forward for the Diamondbacks? Like
going
into the future.
Going forward?
Not just now, because we could name anybody in the bullpen now and say they'll probably get some save chances.
I know why you didn't even ask me this question. I know why.
Well, I would say, I know what Derek's going to say. I would say no. And I'll just kind of echo what I think Derek is going to say. I think the only guy that has potential to do it is Yoan Lopez, but he hasn't been as reliable as we hoped he'd be this year either. I mean, the only other guy in that bullpen that's had actual closing in the ninth inning experience is Hector Rondon, and he's been a dumpster fire this year. So, and he's on a 1-year deal, so I don't think he's going to be around next year. It's, I don't know. Honestly, in this bullpen now, I'm just trying to think of all the names in there. I don't really think there's a
Junior Guerra's been okay.
Yeah, but I don't think he has the high upside. He's older anyway. I mean, Stefan Crichton is just okay.
Hazen has a tendency to go and acquire guys who are veteran closers who have either been injured or whatever. So, I mean, like, he went out and got Boxberger. He went out and got Fernando Rodney.
Yeah.
Was he Rodney? Was that Hazen?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That was his first one. And then Greg Holland, who really didn't work out. But
yeah, and now all of a sudden is a closer again.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know if there's a closer in this bullpen. Derek, did you want to say your piece on this before
No. I have nothing to say.
And let's not act like that the D-backs didn't get anything back for Archie either. Stuart Fairchild is already their 14th ranked prospect now, according to MLB.com.
How old is he?
He is 24, I believe. He'll be 24.
So he needs to make an impact soon.
Yeah.
That's how I view 24-year-old prospects.
In three seasons in the minor leagues, he's hit .274, 24 home runs, 134 RBIs.
Yeah, that's not a lot.
I don't know.
That doesn't feel like a lot to me.
It's not.
But you traded a relief pitcher, so I'm not trying to make it out to be like...
We'll see what happens with
him. You should have gotten the world.
Right.
Let's move on to another big trade, a guy that we also kind of wondered if they would take advantage of the opportunity to sell high on him, and that's Starling Marte, who has been arguably the Diamondbacks' best hitter this season. They just acquired him in the offseason in a trade where they sent two, if I remember right, it was two 19-year-olds to Pittsburgh, who is clearly rebuilding, got Starling, played great, and now they ship him off to Miami, and in return, they're going to get right-handed pitcher Humberto Mejia. How'd I do on that?
Nice.
Is that good?
Yeah, I'm
Thanks,
good.
Man.
Good job.
Left-handed pitcher Caleb Smith. How did I do on the pronunciation?
I don't know. You have to check with Bear on that
okay.
one.
Okay. And then,
it's actually Kalib.
And then this guy's name is difficult. Player to be named later.
Yeah.
I think I got that one. So what do we think of Marte heading to the Marlins, Derek?
First, I think it's a good move because you sent him to a team that's in a similar position as the Diamondbacks. They're actually finding more success this season than the Diamondbacks. But you know what I mean? Like, you sent him to another team that's also still trying to figure out whether they're going to win anytime now or if it's going to be a youth movement in a number of years. I felt like the Diamondbacks, after seeing what I saw this season out of the veteran players, I immediately went to like, well, it's another 2-year process before we're going to be in contention or at least a team that you can consider to be a World Series champion, right? I mean, it doesn't always happen that way. The Nationals last year did not seem like they were going to be a contender, you know. So the way they turned it around, the things that they did, the pieces that they acquired to make the team better, it worked out for them. I'm not saying the Diamondbacks are that far off because I still think that they have a very talented team right now. Sending Marte away for these young players, at the very least, once again, got something for him. You didn't know if the Diamondbacks were going to pursue the club option on Marte after the end of the season, so he could have just been another 1-year and done player as well. He played really well, so I doubt the Diamondbacks would not have picked him up. They would not have given him a reason not to, you know, extend his contract one more season. I just think that they were able to finally admit to themselves that they're not going to win this year and they're not going to win next year. Even if they went on a 10-game winning streak, they would still be considerably behind the pack and they would still not be a team that looks like they could beat the Dodgers and the Yankees and
the Padres.
Yeah, you know, like just some of the better teams that have looked, you know, just so much better than them at times this season. Yankees aren't even the best in their division, but I'm just giving that as an example.
There's
the Minnesota Twins is a good example of a team that's really been
the Rays.
Killing it. The Rays have been killing it. Right.
Part of me thinks though that like the pandemic has a lot to do with what they did, especially with Starling Marte, because they did have a $12.5 million option for next year. I feel like if they had a normal season this year, I feel like this team is not built for this sprint type of season when you have guys like Escobar who historically gets off to slow starts and other guys like that, David Peralta. And so who knows? It's hard. It's hypothetical how, you know, to think about how they would have performed in 162 games. But
sure.
You could argue that if they had, you know, been where they were last year at the end of this year, they probably would have brought Starling Marte back. And if it didn't work out next year, then you trade him. He's a free agent. So there's some value in that. But
realistically, they had to look at this team and see what they've done.
Sure.
And see what how slow they started. And then, you know, yeah, they picked up traction and they started getting on a roll, and had that roll continued, then they could have looked at this differently. But you talk about a very short roll that they went on and then immediately went on another, like, extended losing streak of 8 games.
They were the worst in baseball for a week. They were the best in baseball for a week. And then they were the worst in baseball.
I like that Mike Hazen does that, though. He doesn't screw around and kind of say, well, if we just get one more year, well, we just try one more year, maybe we can contend. No, he looks at this team, how it is constructed, and says, wow, this isn't good enough. I'm going to get, and I have to make some moves, and I got to get something for the future. I like that he's that straightforward with it.
The expanded playoffs really can mess with your perception of what your team's able to do. When you're looking and you're only 2 games out, 3 games out, you still have that to rely on, but you have to look at the overall performance of the team.
Mm-hmm.
You have to look at who are you going to send up there in a 7-game series. Who's going to be your number one starter? Is Madison Bumgarner even going to be around at that point? It's not a very long time until the playoffs start. We're talking about another 30 days.
Right.
So we're not talking about a lot of times for guys to get right. We're not talking about time for Robbie Ray to fix whatever he has that in his delivery that has once again caused him to walk so many batters. I don't really know what the answer is. I don't think Mike Hazen knew what the answer was. Mike Hazen knew we need to free up some money. We need to see what happens, not even this year in free agency, because this year's free agency is going to be so, like, limited.
Weird.
It's going to be so weird, right? And there's going to be so many players that aren't willing to, like, really put long-term deals on the line or anything like that during this very weird.
Well, alone teams that don't have the money to sign players.
Correct. That, too, because
of the lack
of revenue.
The guy who might be getting $30 million a year in a normal season might get 20,
right?
Might get less.
Right.
I don't know. It's going to be really.
You're probably going to see a lot of 1-year deals next year.
Yeah, and a lot of people not opting out. If they don't have to.
You're going
to
see a lot of DeMarcus Cousins contracts where it's 1 year and ungodly low money.
Yeah.
To prove it, and then next year when teams like get their revenue back, then they'll look to
make it performance based. If they kill it, then give them all the money in the world. That's what I say.
Yeah, but teams just don't have the money to promise that.
I know.
Because a contract like that, where it's dependent on how well they play, the team has to know in the back of their mind that we have to be willing to pay them the maximum, like as if they are going to kill it.
Right.
Because otherwise, we're offering money we don't have.
Here's what I like about the Starling Marte trade is the fact that I immediately saw Marlins fans saying that they did it to us again, that the Diamondbacks did it to us again.
Oh, like when we got Gallen a year
ago. Exactly like when we got Gallen. Now, Gallen had the numbers that you looked at it, and personally, that's one of the reasons why I couldn't stop gushing about how much I love that trade.
Why are they trading this guy?
Right.
What's wrong with it?
Right, because here's the thing is, I mean, Jazz was a great player, and he was our number one prospect. I'm not saying he's not. And one day, he could be that guy that, once again, people rub in the D-backs face with how great he is, but he's not that great now. Look at how great Gallen has been. He set a major league record for the most consecutive starts, every single start of his career, all 22 starts, three earned runs or less. That's amazing. That's an amazing stat, because that's just not something that every pitcher can do. Every pitcher has an off day.
Mm-hmm.
Every pitcher has that night where the other team just figured him out. How the hell is Gallen able to do it every single night and keep it 3 earned runs or less? I have no idea.
Yeah, if you're a pitcher, you would like for that to happen on any given night.
Any given night.
You're like, if I give up less than 3 tonight, I'll be happy.
3 or less? That's on the offense.
Gallen is like, if I give up more than 3, I will be ticked.
Yeah. Well, and like, it's weird because we talked to him, and when he discussed with the media about like how he felt about himself, it's interesting. You know, he's like, I always kind of felt like I could be special, but, you know, you don't really know because you're facing off against, you know,
other major leaguers,
high school kids and stuff like that.
The other best players in the world.
You just get to that point where you don't really understand how good you are until you get to the major leagues, until you start doing it at a major league level.
So, Bear, were you pleased with the return? I mean, I know we don't know a ton about some of these players, but the return from the Marlins?
Yeah, I mean, Caleb Smith seems like he's a promising young pitcher.
A lefty.
By the way, they were doing that also with both guys. Yeah. That's another thing I just wanted to throw out there before Bear gets into their stats. They were both saying Mejia and Caleb were both, like, I saw fans on both sides of it that were almost arguing about who it was worse to lose. Caleb Smith is very much like Robbie Ray. He's a high strikeout guy. He's just still, you know, he doesn't have a great earned run average and things like that, but 168 strikeouts last season were third most by Marlins left-hander in a single season, and that seems very much like we're replacing Robbie Ray with a younger, better, cheaper version of himself.
This Umberto Mejia, he's only 23 years old. He skipped double and triple A, and he's pitching in the majors right now. So I don't know where he goes from here now that he's with the D-backs, but he's made three starts in the major leagues. I mean, they haven't gone great. He's given up six runs in 10 innings pitched, but he struck out 11 in those 10 innings. But
that's a lot of progression, though.
Yeah,
to
skip double A and triple A nowadays is kind of crazy.
I understand skipping triple A for D-backs players.
Yeah,
because pitchers,
especially
go
pitchers,
to, right? Because they go to Reno
and they get lit up.
Right, it's just going to happen.
John Gambadoro tweeted: Caleb Smith should be able to pitch for Arizona this season.
He's been on the injured list. He's only started one game. According to the D-backs press release, he's only started one game in 2020. He was placed on the injured list on August 4th.
Most likely to be in relief is what it says.
10 and 11 last season as a starter.
He's only,
28 so starts.
Could be the fourth or fifth guy in the rotation next year.
Possibly, yeah.
Could be.
We're going to get to Robbie Ray here in a second. Robbie Ray gets traded. I don't know what the
Baumgartner,
deal is with
Gallen, Weaver.
I don't know what the deal with Weaver is. I don't know. I really don't know what the deal is with Mike Leake. Is he a free agent after this year?
Yeah.
So basically, his time.
I think Merrill Kelly is also a free agent, if I'm not mistaken. I could be wrong.
Okay.
He might have arbitration because he was technically a rookie last year.
Any way you swing it, there's going to be a lot of questions with the rotation.
Alex Young too.
Part of it because they shipped Robbie Ray to the Blue Jays for left-handed pitcher Travis Bergen. I don't know a whole lot about Bergen. I know he's made some appearances.
And I don't really think you even need to, because I think this was just a trade to get Robbie Ray out of here. I mean, for just to be like, to try not to be a jerk. I mean, I feel like what I said in our trade scenario ideas last podcast, if they can find any deal to get Robbie Ray to another team where that team will give you something in return, you have to do it, because Robbie Ray is a free agent after this year. You can't just let him walk, and it's not like he's giving you a chance to win every fifth day when he's taking the ball. So I felt like they had to do this, and apparently they wanted to do this badly because they threw in $300,000 in the deal, cash considerations to the Blue Jays as well, to pay part of Robbie's salary
this year. That's not what it seems, though. Everyone sees that as, oh, we had to pay to give up Robbie Ray, but think about it, too. You also lose the salary that Robbie Ray would have cost you.
Yeah, I know they're saving money, but
yeah, overall, they still come out on
top.
They
save, I think it's around $3 million this year on the guys they traded. I don't know.
Yeah.
And then plus whatever.
Usually
you would
throw in cash to even out the salaries in the trades. As opposed, because the guy they're getting back, I'm guessing, makes almost
no
money.
But in baseball, you don't have to balance the salaries.
No, you don't have to. But teams need to because they have budgets.
But yeah, this Travis Bergen kid, I don't really think he's not the prize prospect you're thinking you're gonna get. But
I don't think that was the point of it, though.
No, I don't think so either.
The point of it, obviously, with the cash consideration, and everything was to get something for Robbie Ray and to get a young player, right? I think that they have their scouting information and they got what they were going to get. I think that Bear's assessment in our pre-draft or pre-trade deadline article was correct. It doesn't matter. Get anything for him, even if you had to give cash up to get him. Now, here are our free agents after this season. Mike Leake, much to Steve's excitement. Uh-oh. Jake Lamb is a free agent.
Yeah.
Hector Rondon is a free agent after this season.
The bullpen needs a full makeover.
Guys, Yasmani Tomas.
Yasmani Tomas.
He's a free agent.
Yes.
Now the question is
$16 million.
Yeah, but it's not like, okay, you get $16 or $17 off of Yasmani's contract. I think you get like $4 or $5 off of Jake.
Bumgarner's salary, by the way, goes up quite a bit next year.
Bumgarner's goes up, yeah. But also with the pandemic, we don't know what their budget is. I wouldn't assume that Mike Hazen is looking to spend the same amount of money next year that he did this year.
Merrill Kelly is under team control until 2025.
Holy crap.
Well, you think about it, because
he was technically a rookie last year. Okay, that makes sense.
I would have thought, though, that you get a free agent deal if you were that.
Yeah, Ketel Marte, 2025. So, like, they have Nick Ahmed, 2024.
The thing they do have is control over starting pitchers. Yeah. They have control.
Yeah.
Especially with Ray gone now. Interesting. Robbie Ray to the Blue Jays for Travis Berger. I don't know what they're going to get out of Berger, if anything.
Madison Bumgarner's salary goes up from $6 million this year to $19 million in 2021.
Here's another trade I wanted to discuss is the Andrew Chafin and cash considerations
this
to
is
Cubs
the weirdest trade
for a player to be named later or cash considerations.
Yeah.
I believe Gambo tweeted out that if the Cubs, so how it works is if the Cubs, or no, if Andrew Chafin makes a playoff roster with the Cubs, then the Diamondbacks get to pick a player
of their choice.
So I'm guessing if they make the playoffs, or if they don't make the playoffs, I guess
Javi Baez is going to be a Diamondback.
If he's not on a player a playoff roster, they just get cash. Is how I understand that.
Probably.
It's I've never seen a trade like that before.
It's nice. It's like a conditional trade.
I've never seen those conditions before. If he makes the playoff roster, then you get a player.
And it obviously can't be any player, right?
I will take Chris Bryant. Thank you very much.
Chris Bryant,
no, they've
please.
Probably already communicated to the Cubs,
you,
hey, we like
you.
Sure.
No, we don't want you, Darvish.
They already know who the player to be named later is, I would assume.
It's probably either they did
Steven Souza Jr.
Is Miguel Montero still
there? That's our center
fielder. Oh, my gosh. No, he's not.
They did one of two things. They either already picked the player, that's probably the most likely, or they've picked a couple and let the Cubs know, like, at the end of the season, we'll pick one of these three guys.
It's got to be Daniel Descalso.
Oh, is he on the team?
Yeah, he's on the team.
He's still there. Wow.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
I'll take it back.
Could be.
Andrew Chafin's officially there.
How much is Jason Hayward making next year?
A lot.
A lot?
Way too much.
Oh, my goodness.
I don't think losing Chafin is a big deal.
No.
He was giving you pretty much nothing this season. He was injured, but he was their only lefty.
Yeah, that's why I think some of these players that they're calling up or whatever have to be the replacement because they're bullpen, or that means that Young's going back to the bullpen.
That Travis Bergen kid is a lefty.
Bergen,
sorry.
So is Caleb Smith.
Correct.
But I think Bergen is closer to pitching with the D-backs big league club.
I think he's 25.
Yeah, and he made 26 or some odd appearances, I think, last year for the Giants. So he could be a guy that they put in the bullpen for a lefty.
If I remember correctly, he was on the Blue Jays, was eligible for the Rule 5 draft. The Giants picked him.
That's correct.
He went to the Giants. The Giants then put him back down, which means you have to send him back to the former team.
It's a very weird system.
So he got sent back to the Blue Jays, and now the Blue Jays have traded him
correct.
To the D-backs. So I would assume that means he's out of options. If he was picked in the Rule 5 draft, I don't know inner workings of that, but I would assume that this is a guy who you could throw into the major league bullpen right now. I don't know that he's a solid player, but
I don't know why they would
Steve.
I don't even know why they would send him down in the first place because this team is not any good. So why not?
It doesn't matter. Yeah. None of it matters. Wins don't matter.
Jeez.
We just want the games to end. That's all I want is the games to end.
That's so sad. I hate to know that.
That stinks too that you say, because we only had 60 games to work with, and we're like, I'm ready to
Well, they're only how many games out of a wild card?
Oh, every game I've been to was a win, so I'm not saying it's not my fault.
Why don't you cover the team more?
You needed to go to more games.
You need to go tell them to up your hours or something.
Just saying.
Do you guys have a. Let's rank the trades in order of how much we like them.
Okay.
Starting with the one you like the most, Bear.
I would say the Starling Martrade. I would say that one. I feel like they got the most back with Caleb Smith and Humberto Mejia. Okay. I think they got a pretty good pitching help.
Are we
there.
All in agreement? That's probably number one.
I concur 100%.
Number two, Derek.
Number two for me. You know what? I'd probably have to say Travis Bergen and Cash, or actually for Robbie Ray and Cash, just because. You know, it's again, a lefty is hard to come by, so that at least they were able to get a lefty back for Robbie Ray. I don't know. He in 22 relief appearances, he's 2-0 with a 5.06 ERA. It's not terrible. He's got a 2.38 opponent batting average with 21 strikeouts. He has major league time with the Giants. Yeah. I don't hate that trade, mostly because if they were going to get rid of anybody, it needed to be Robbie Ray.
Right.
And again, it's nothing personal to him. It
addition
was just,
by subtraction.
It was the contractual, you know, situation.
Yeah, I agree with Derek. It was time to move on from Robbie. Plenty of opportunity for him to get right and gain his 2017 form back that we all saw him be an all-star and a potential ace down the road. And I feel like it just. I hope he does pitch well again, because I like Robbie Ray, and I hope that a change of scenery, you know, helps him.
I'll say it. Third best, I think, is the Archie Bradley trade. It sucks to lose the guy who's like the heart and soul of your team, kind of the face of the franchise in some ways emotionally. Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, he was at one point the biggest pitching prospect in baseball, the best. Supposed to be a stud pitcher. And you listed the numbers earlier, Derek. 3.96 ERA in his career, a losing record.
28 saves.
Not a ton of saves, so he wasn't really a closer that long. I know the fans love him, but ultimately, I think if you get anything out of Josh Van Meter or Stuart Fairchild, I think it's a win to trade Archie Bradley at this point. And then that leaves the Andrew Chafin deal, which I think we all kind of think is just a wash.
That was just a whatever.
I disagree. I like that one more than the Archie Bradley.
Really?
Trade.
How so? Okay.
Because it's exciting.
What's exciting?
Because the player to be named later is Chris Bryant.
Yeah.
The fact that you don't know what the trade is until the season's over.
And we could totally get Javi Baez.
Dude, you're either going to get 20 bucks in cash or you're going to get a player no one's ever heard of.
Have you never gambled before, Steve? That sounds like a fun time to me.
What? Never
Here's the thing. With the expanded playoff, you know, this season, there's a really good chance the Cubs are going to make the playoffs.
But,
they're
here's
doing
the thing, though,
well this year.
He has to make the playoff roster.
That's another thing.
That's
He's a left-handed bullpen arm that has experience. There is a very good chance he's going to be there, regardless of how good or bad he is with the Cubs.
I think Derek expects that they're going to make the playoffs and we're going to get Chris Bryant.
I'm waiting
for
John Lester.
I do have a question. Why are the players to be named later in trades like that always so low-level minor leaguers or nobodies?
Because that's why it's not really worth, I think, mentioning.
Not worth reporting on?
Until the actual deal actually happens.
There's a couple other reasons,
too. Because it would hurt feelings, right? I mean, that's one thing Lavolo's big on, is he wants to tell us stuff at times, but he's like, I need to have a conversation first because I don't want them to see that come from your tweet.
There's
also, I don't want them to see they're starting because Steve Gilbert tweeted it out, you know?
There's also a rule this season that you could only trade players on your 60-man roster.
Okay.
And the only way around that was to do players to be named later. So those are guys that are probably lower in your system, but you don't have to name them right now. They could be later on.
I just want to see the player to be named later be like, what? Like that guy?
Like, oh my God, that huge name? No.
Chris Bryant? Wow, okay.
Yeah, that rarely happens. But also, too, I think there are in some situations where they don't know what that player is going to be yet, and that team may keep negotiating that throughout the course of the season.
That's exactly why they use that terminology.
Yeah.
Just to say also, there were some moves yesterday by the D-backs that I think are going to be what's going to put them together.
Josh Rojas is back, baby.
Josh Rojas is back from the alternate
training
site.
But will he actually play?
No, that's the problem.
Well, who's going to play center field?
I can tell.
Who's going to play shortstop or
Nick,
second base?
I read
a rumor about Varsho that he was going to play
center
and second.
Yeah, that is second.
Yeah.
God, I love that little guy.
I read that rumor.
God,
I don't know if it's
here's
best.
Here's what I would want to see. As much as I don't really want to see Ketel Marte in center field, I mean, whatever. It's fine. He can play there, whatever. I want to see against left-handed pitching Andy Young play second, and I want to see against right-handed pitching Josh Rojas play second, and a combination of whatever you want to do with those two guys.
I hate everything that you're saying.
Why?
I hate everything. I hate everything with the situation.
That's not my fault.
Yeah,
we need more Andy Young, because we got to figure out what Andy Young is.
Yeah, that's what
I'm
saying.
We need more Andy Young. We need more Josh Rojas. You know what? It sounds really crazy because when I read that Varsho and center field rumor, I was like getting flashbacks of Chris Owings and Chris Herman.
I would say Dalton Varsho is a better athlete than Chris Herman, but that's just me.
Yeah, but that's what it made me think of. You know, like you think catcher playing center field, and you're like,
he just made his first start at catcher the other day.
Right,
he's been playing left field and DH.
But I don't
won't be. And if he's on this team's future, I mean, he's a part of this team's future right now. Carson Kelly pretty much has the catcher position locked up.
I'm guessing we'll get a little more John Jay in center.
Probably.
Maybe
yeah,
he's
Castro. A good defender.
Here's the thing, is Taylor Clark is getting stretched out, and he has been doing actually pretty well over his short starts and appearances. I wouldn't be surprised to see him in the starting lineup more now that he's getting stretched out. They also selected Artie Lewicki, Joe Mantiply, and Curry Mella. Their contracts from
none of those guys do anything for
alternate
me.
Training site.
Nothing for me.
By the way,
actually, those guys do negative.
Taylor Widener was put on the 10-day injured list, and Merrill Kelly and Jeremy Beasley have been moved to the 45-day.
Their seasons are over.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Their seasons are done.
Yeah, none of those moves do anything for me D-backs, except for bringing up Josh Rojas.
Their taxi squad still is made up of John Hicks, Wyatt Matheson, and Trace Thompson.
I forgot that Trace Thompson's on this team.
By the way, I like Wyatt Matheson a lot.
Mm-hmm. Maybe he should get some
second. He's kind of a tweener, though, like a triple-A guy that hasn't gotten that chance yet in the major leagues.
Yeah.
But I'd be interested to see. But you have to figure out, you have too many of those guys moving around. Now, is Josh Van Meter going to be on the major league team?
Not
right now.
But he's a utility guy, too, right? So you got him, yeah. Andy Young, Dalton Varsho.
Josh Rojas,
who all do the same
Tim
things.
Tim LaCastro.
Yeah.
Except for Tim LaCastro's really fast.
Like a lot of guys who do a lot of things, which is good. I mean, they clearly like positional flexibility and versatility, but...
Even a lot of their...
I don't know who plays what.
Even a lot of their core players, like Cattell and David Peralta and all those guys, Eduardo Escobar, they're all guys that can play elsewhere, too.
Yeah.
That's what this entire team is.
I'm super interested to see if Cattell ends up back in center field.
Because I think that's what's going to happen. Want it to.
Because we can all agree that second base is a better fit because it's less stress on him.
I just think he's a better fielder at second.
But he was a top 10 player in baseball while playing center field.
He adapted very well.
And it's going to stick with me. I don't like what he said near the end of last year about how he thought the artificial turf in center field was affecting his legs. And that's what he went down with an injury. I'll never get over that. I'll never forget about that, what he said. So I don't know.
I'm with you. It definitely feels weird to them. And you don't want to see anything happen to that guy of any
no.
right? Because
that's your best player.
Yeah, that's easily the best player besides Zach Gallen.
And I don't want ideally I wouldn't want your best player moving all over the field all the time. That's just me, but
you wouldn't want
some consistency. I think Ketel Marte is a really good fielder at second base, too. Maybe even better than he is in center field.
Oh, he's above average at second base.
Yes, yeah. I agree.
Center field, I think he's probably still above average, but just like right there at
the line.
Yeah,
he's a good fielder. I was really surprised at how well he took to center field last year. Honestly, I thought he did really well out there, but I just would rather see him at second base. But this year's weird, and they've traded a lot of guys, and you're probably going to have to do it that way, especially if you want to see more of Andy Young and Josh Rojas and maybe even Wyatt Matheson. Who are all
I want to see
all infielders for the most part.
I want to see Kevin Crone.
Oh, well, you're not going to see him anymore.
No.
Doesn't sound like it.
Not unless they drop Jake Lamb, but that's not going to happen.
Kevin Crone really kind of... I mean, he didn't get a lot of opportunity.
He's getting the short end of the stick this year.
He is, but
when
they finally threw him a bone, he didn't really do much with it. And
with
that's
how
not
many
really
at-bats?
I was going to say, that's not really on him. Like, because you can't just assume he's going to come up here and hit 10 home runs in a week. So I don't know. It's a combination of both, I think. They really didn't know what they're doing with the DH because they don't have a guy besides Kevin Crone that really fills that DH role anyway. What are you smirking at?
I'm smirking because I just wanted to bring up the fact that yesterday on social media, the Diamondbacks proceeded to say goodbye to all of the players that have been long-term players. Archie.
Long-term.
We're going to miss you, man. You know, it's so many unforgettable memories, moments. Arizona will miss you. Then it comes to, you know, Robbie Ray, 147 Ray days, 1,000 strikeouts, 2017 All-Star. It's been one heck of a ride, Robbie Ray.
We salute you.
Right? Southpaw Sheriff, wishing you the best of luck.
Andrew Chapin got a goodbye video.
Starling Marte, we got
Bye.
Nothing for you.
Bye.
We got nothing for you. Sorry.
He was here for like...
I don't care.
We didn't have time to put together a highlight reel.
Yeah,
he was here a week.
So?
Well, like 3 weeks, technically.
You can't say goodbye to the guy?
He went through a lot, though, in his
this
short
year
time
is,
here.
Yeah.
His wife passed away.
This year has been brutal.
You throw him a video or something. You gotta have some video of him taking BP or hitting in spring training or something.
Come on, man. He was hitting. He was hitting.
He was the best. He was their best player.
He was.
Poor guy.
They're off today, and I couldn't imagine a more fitting off day than this.
Think about it this way, though. If you work it all out, I'm trying it in my head. Hazen ended up trading essentially what he traded for Marte, which was a 19-year-old starting pitching prospect, Brendan Malone, and a 19-year-old shortstop. Who was probably not going to make the majors anytime soon, for Caleb Smith, Humberto Mejia, and a player to be named later. That's not a bad trade.
He's a genius.
By the way, Derek, you're so wrong. They play today. They play the Dodgers today.
Oh.
In LA.
You're just not covering the game because
for whatever reason,
no one wants you to cover the game.
Oh, I just, I'm sorry.
Today's Tuesday, right?
I saw a tweet that said one
today
day, yeah, it said off day tomorrow. So I thought it was from the Diamondbacks account.
No, great. They get to go to L.A. and play the best team in baseball after having a huge out of business sale.
Their off day was the day that they got rid of most of
the
their roster.
Well, anyway, the fire sale is over, and so is this podcast. But don't worry. We'll be back soon enough to
will
go
we?
Over all the other things. I don't know.
Did we get traded?
I don't know. Can we get traded?
I hope not.
Contractually, I think we're on the table.
I like where I live and work.
Well,
too bad. Tampa Bay.
If you don't like it, you better learn to love it. Let me tell you. Because
Kansas
you're out
City.
Of here, pal.
Kansas City.
I don't want to move to Kansas City.
You know what?
I really don't.
It's funny. Robbie Ray gets traded to Toronto, but he really got traded to Buffalo. Kind of sad.
Kind of true. Yeah, actually. That is interesting.
Buffalo Bob.
We thank you so much for listening here to the Trade Deadline Special on the Ain't No Fang podcast. I'm Steve Zinsmeister with Derek Montilla and Cody Fincher as well. We thank you for listening on ArizonaSports.com and on the Arizona Sports app.